I will let Pearl explain that, and we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you. The state agencies, your voc rehab agencies, have to do an annual state plan. We talked about that before. The independent living centers and, well, the statewide independent living
counselors. I'm having a hard time concentrating here. Thank you.
The statewide independent living council, known as SILC, also has to do an annual state plan for independent living called the SPIL. The SPIL has to be a joint effort on the part of the council, that is SILC, and the general agency for voc rehab and the blind agency, which is us. And so Bob Deaton actually sits on the council and is involved throughout the year on the working on the goals and the development of the goals. But then on an annual basis, we kind of get together the directors of the agencies and key council people to finalize the plan and to come up with the resource plan, which is that the two voc rehab agencies provide the funding for the statewide council and for the Panhandle Independent Living Services. So the resource plan provides a three-year plan for the funding each year. I guess I said it was annual. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's every 3 years that the SPIL has to be done. So the need for it to be approved by each agency, and so the SPIL and the resource plan was sent to the board earlier in the month with information, well, with the plan itself. Also, the draft plan has been posted on our website for several weeks now, I think. So there's three main goals. One is, I'll just kind of summarize, people with disabilities in Nebraska, including but not limited to people with mental illness and acquired brain injuries, have access to supports and services necessary for independent living to achieve and maintain that, including but not limited to health care, employment, and transportation. Then there are objectives and activities within that. The second goal is that people have access to full information on independent living services that are available in the state. And third, to improve the capacity and build sustainability for the existing three centers for independent living plus two satellite offices and the SILC. So that's kind of the goal for, I'm sorry, capacity building for youth leadership for youth with disabilities in Nebraska. And I can go into more detail if you like. I can also go into details of the funding if you like. But I guess I want to see if you have any, if the board has questions about the materials that have been sent.
Questions?
Not right now.
Okay. No questions.
Okay. I believe that this year what they are asking for is action from the commission board to basically approve the draft plan and goals and resource plan as they're submitted to us.
Is there a motion?
Is there a motion?
Is there discussion?
Nope.
No. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the state plan for independent living as it has been provided to us.
Yep.
Is that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct? Okay. So, final call for discussion.
Nope.
Okay, let's have a roll call vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes.
Mm.
Okay. We will move on to our next agenda item, which is discuss and act on the state of Nebraska personnel evaluation tool that the state of Nebraska is wanting us to use. So is Wes here?
I'm here.
And are you ready for to talk?
Okay. Yeah. You want me to go up there or stay here and just use the mic?
Whatever works for you.
Yeah. Just use the mic.
But you do, yeah. Dan's got the microphone.
Thanks. So the state of Nebraska is working on using a performance appraisal system. Basically, I first learned about this back in, September, October. It is a web-based system based on the Cornerstone On-Demand Talent Management System. And how it works is, at the time, initially, agencies were to enter their performance goals and job duties into the system as kind of a test-based thing to make sure everybody was at the same level when January 1st rolled around. And then January 1st, it was expected that all what they call code-based agencies would use the system, or would be required to use the system, that's what I'll put it. We found when I initially started testing it, working with AS State Personnel, and their accessibility analyst, Mike Floyd, he and I are working very closely to test and work with the system. We found that there were some accessibility defects. Sometimes it's kind of difficult to know where you are in the system due to page titles, unlabeled form fields, unlabeled graphics at various places. We reported these things to the company Cornerstone On Demand, who makes the software. And it was determined at that point by Dr. Van Zandt that with it not being accessible, that because we were a non-code agency, that we would not use the system until it was accessible. And that was reported to AS State Personnel. we had the inclement weather in February caused a meeting between us and Cornerstone to be postponed. I just learned last week that Cornerstone officials will be coming in next Thursday, May 9th, to talk to us. I was last in the system in February, and then I went in yesterday for a little bit to look around, and I haven't seen anything change. One of the things we did in February was I took some of the resource documents that are on the State Nebraska Information Technology Commission, that is NITC, has our accessibility policy, technology access clause, and resource documents that support that. One of those resource documents is a series of checklists, one of those being the website accessibility questionnaire. I went through and issues that we found as we went through the review steps, I footnoted a document that showed where issues that we found could be run against the items on that statewide checklist where they failed. And that has been provided to Cornerstone. I have not seen a response in that regard. To look at the system in a broader way, how this works is, like I said before, they put the goals and job duties in. Either that can be done by the individual employee, supervisor, or if you're a large enough agency or you have enough jobs that they're similar, the HR officials can put these goals into a library that the employee can pick from. And then once these goals are in, there you do the employee does their review of the goals, of the essential job duties, and of some universal performance dimensions that all agencies are scored against. And then that review, once it's completed, goes up to the supervisor. The supervisor does that that same review on that employee. Then it comes back to the employee for their review. The supervisor talks about it, and then it goes up to the indirect manager, which is the supervisor's supervisor, and then back to the supervisor for final approval. So basically, it's all electronic, and the, you know, it keeps a history of all of the different things that happen. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have. I don't know if there's anything else you need from me, or if, Julie, if you have...
Yeah, I'll follow up, and I'm sure we'll have questions. So don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got the mic first. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In my discussion with state personnel a couple of weeks ago, because I was trying to figure out if there's a better way of different ideas for doing Pearl's evaluation, and in my discussion, it was mentioned that they have this new tool. And although we would never be required to use that with Pearl, it would be available to us, and we're strongly encouraged, you know, to do this. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that's definitely an option, and it makes sense. If we're going to be using that with, you know, other staff in the future, then we could, you know, have that consistency. So that's something, you know, in the future that we, the board, could consider. But I don't think that's a decision we need to make today. It was also expressed in that conversation that whatever evaluation tool agencies use, it has to be approved by state personnel. So our current evaluation, when the next time to renew that or have that approved or whatever the cycle, how that goes, state personnel will no longer be approving any other evaluation tool except for theirs. And it was said to me exactly, very plainly, they are not approving any other evaluation tool but theirs. But they didn't mention that it was inaccessible, so that's interesting. So, Wes, I guess, what is your expectation? How profound are the accessibility issues? And do you think it's gonna be like a couple of days fix, a couple of months? Are we looking at a long drawn out mess? Do you have an idea?
Yes.
Do you want me to respond to that on a microphone?
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah, we can always hit the delete key.
No, that's not that's what true. I asked. I feel that this is going to be long and drawn out. That is my feeling as I stand here on this Saturday. You know, the meeting is next Thursday, where Cornerstone will be here. There may be something more that comes out of that will change my opinion. But where we haven't done anything with it since February, it's really hard to know. As far as how profound the defects are, I mean, it would fail Section 508 standards testing. There would be a learning curve. And one of the things you deal with these learning curves and dealing with these accessibility issues, if you're not in the system every day, it makes it even more... I mean, all systems need to be accessible, but when you don't use them every day, the little idiosyncrasies, those ways you get around the accessibility defects, become less and less obvious because you're not doing it every day.
Yeah. Julie?
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of inside kind of a story since Michael is working there every day. My opinion is just like Wes. This is going to be another nest or Edge. And I do believe they really don't care. Mm-hmm. And you can write it in the report, I don't care.
Yeah. I agree.
And so the deal is that they will not approve any other way.
Nancy asked if the state personnel would approve another method.
And you said not.
They told me on the phone no, but you know, I don't know, maybe they'll change their mind. I don't know.
I think we need to force the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wes, are you up for that?
Sure.
Okay.
Go for it.
See, that's why we have a wonderful staff in the commission.
Yeah.
People that are...
Well, I feel like, you know, we have the state law that says the state of Nebraska has purchased the software that it needs to be accessible, so they need to follow their own rules.
Yeah.
Carlos has a question.
Wes gave a summary already. I know our director has been also in touch with them, sent them a strong letter. And what I would suggest is if you as a board, through the chairman, write a letter to the director of state personnel or to the governor, CCing the director of state personnel, explaining what's going on and your position on this.
I
think that'd be good.
Kathy, can you send me their names and the contact information, and that'll serve as my reminder, so I can do that.
It's just a matter of housekeeping. I'm asking Kathy to send me a reminder. Questions, comments from the board? I'm hearing we're all in agreement.
Yes. Yeah.
It's unacceptable and it needs to be dealt with.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Do we want any kind of formal?
No.
No, we're good.
I think the next step is to see what their response is after you write your letter.
Wes, could you keep us up to date with the progress? Just, you know, if you meet with them, or and Pearl usually forwards stuff, but just so we can keep up to date on what's going on.
Yeah, the folks are coming in from LA next Thursday, and I'll report to Pearl and you as well.
Sure. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go ahead and move on. I lost track of where we're at here.
Addressing the changing needs of clients.
Thank you. Our next agenda item is addressing the changing needs of clients. It was brought up in the survey, and it's something I hear from a lot of different staff when I was at the state staff meeting and just in general, is that clients, and we're speaking in generalities, I mean, there's always exceptions, but overall, we're seeing a trend of clients with multiple disabilities or other life circumstances that create unique situations and maybe challenges for the counselor to provide meaningful service. So I think it's important for us to address how can we meet, you know, what are we doing now that's working really great, and how can we do more of that? So, who wants to start?
Oh my gosh.
I can speak to that.
Oh, yeah, here. Never mind. Sorry.
Thank you. We're partnering with the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing on the equipment distribution program. We also recently, we put on a training for support SSPs. Support service providers, thank you, that provide services to people who are deaf and blind. We provide, our staff have to come up with
ideas for training, well, unless we see something, but usually it's the staff member sees options for training with brain injury issues or variety of things. We almost always support staff attending training on a wide range of multiple disabilities and other issues related to the skills they need, but the changing needs of clients is a biggie. That's frequently something people go to training on. In the offices and the areas, I think the staff do a really good job at connecting with local resources and, you know, learning from them or tapping into their knowledge base if that's the need. I'm sure there are other things that we could be doing, but those are some of the things I think we're doing now, and I would see if any of the other staff members here want to add anything that we're doing to meet the changing needs of clients. Anybody want to comment?
One of the other areas that we have to address in all this are other cultures. We are seeing more and more people with foreign language or English difficulties. And, of course, the difference in culture also means a difference in how we handle those situations. Fortunately, structured discovery when it comes to things like cognitive disabilities or other types of physical disabilities adapts very easily to, more easily than conventional types of approaches to teaching, because it is a sort of a sliding continuum between the two types of teaching. And so it's a little easier to adapt that way, but there's an awful lot of stuff that we simply don't know. And I don't know, I mean, what we do now is a lot of referring out when it comes to medical issues, physical disabilities, hearing loss, and I think that's pretty much the route we're going to have to stay with, simply because none of us can learn all of those different disciplines and things.
Thank you, Jeff. I agree with that. Anything else on,
Just out of curiosity, how are you guys handling the language barrier at this point if, in situations where that has arisen?
I'll answer that. We've, and thanks to Jeff for remembering to mention that too, the cultural differences. We have hired interpreters to come and be to be at the center, for example, during the training. We've sometimes used the language link, which is a way of getting an interpreter on the phone. I know that CAP is using that for a meeting with a person that doesn't speak English for an inquiry into CAP, so that's another option. And but we, the agency, will pay for the interpreter when that's what the need is. I did want to, I guess, ask if Carlos, Bob, or Connie have any comments further about things that we are doing or even thoughts of what we should differently, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm. Bob has set up meetings with Developmental Disability Services so that we can coordinate our services better with them. I think this has always been an issue that for a long time. I think the cultural issues are more prevalent than they used to be, but we've always served people with a lot of disabilities and have had to problem solve different issues and work with other entities. So I believe that we've done that for a long time.
Carlos or Bob, anything to add?
No.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you.
I have a question.
question. This is something that I ran into in my employment a while ago. But what do you do in the situation where you have English as a second language, or a person with a hearing impairment that could be using an interpreter or sign language, and they don't want those accommodations?
You know? Good question.
Has that ever happened? Maybe. No. I don't think so. It does to me. The client maybe doesn't speak good English, and I feel like an interpreter would be useful, and they say no. And I think my hunch is that it's a cultural issue. And, okay. Yeah, Fatosh has I guess the ruling that came down for me by the State of Nebraska Crime Commission was that they have to have an interpreter, whether they want it or not.
So,
okay, but I'll let Fatosh.
Hang on a minute.
Sorry.
It is...
I turned it off. Sorry.
It is actually a cultural issue, and I see that in my community too, that the interpreters, especially if it is kind of a... like Turkish, I mean, there are not very many of us, and so the interpreters are only few, and that they don't want the things going out to other members of the community. And so it is definitely a trust issue, and if they have problems with the interpreter they're using, I will decline too. I mean, I understand that side too.
But
it makes sense, actually.
Well, I'm glad it's not a problem for you guys, but I think it's something to be mindful of, is sometimes the issues are all mingled, you know, it's partly a language, it's partly a cultural issue.
Julie?
Yes.
I have a question. You know, what I'm wondering is, since I don't know much about interpreters and so forth, are they... do they need to sign like a confidentiality type thing to say that they won't spread whatever, you know, is said?
With their agency, yes.
With their agency, but not with the commission.
Yeah, we do have a document that we use and or should be using all the time with, whether it's an interpreter, a contract teacher, a driver reader, any of, you know, we definitely emphasize the confidentiality.
Okay. I thought that's the way it was, but, you know, I just was going to say that I was getting the impression that, you know, a trust issue, and I do understand trust issue, and maybe, you know, the client isn't aware that they need to do that, and that if they don't follow those rules, the interpreter doesn't follow those rules, that there will be, you know, consequences for them doing that.
I know that I have some friends who are deaf who don't, just second Bob, Bob's next, but who haven't wanted to use the telephone relay system because there's a lack of trust. And even if they know, yes, they signed some confidentiality thing, you know, those only go so far. I mean, a person has to respect it. So it's, you want to go to my left and around.
The center, client center.
That's a folks meeting.
Okay.
So anyway,
thank you for coming.
But we really try to emphasize that with everybody. I'm going to give it to Bob, if that's all right.
Yep.
Finally, I took Patel completely different when she said trust, because I didn't think of confidentiality. I think, for me, what struck me right away is whether or not the interpreter is actually saying what I'm saying. And whether or not the interpreter is telling me what the other person is saying, because you know, as somebody who uses a interpreter, a lot of times I myself wonder Now, did they really say what I just said, you know? And if you don't really feel comfortable with that, that could be a problem.
Yeah. That makes sense, too.
Right. Yeah, it's. I think both aspects of it are reality.
Yeah.
But we do what we can. The other thing we have done that I didn't mention yet, sorry, is that we have also paid for individuals to attend English as second language classes. Uh-huh. Because we can pay for a wide range of things that are related to the person achieving their occupational goal. And so if learning English obviously would certainly contribute to that, we can pay for that.
Out of curiosity, are there like English as a second language classes offered by places like Hadley that's specifically with accessible materials?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. I haven't heard it mentioned. Hadley is a really good resource and has a lot of things, but whether they have that, I don't know.
Because I'm sure that there are concerns with, because English as a second language classes are not designed with blind people in mind. So that might present an additional layer of...
Like I said, there's always so much we could talk about. When recently we had individuals going through the English as a second language in Lincoln, we worked with a local contractor to develop the handbooks in Braille. And I don't remember now if the school maybe paid for it or if we did, but I know that we coordinated, communicated with that Braillist to make sure that the visual information that was in those handbooks would be represented to the students. And so we were involved with that process as well. Whether it worked or not is another question, but anyway, we did our best to help make sure that the material would be in Braille.
Okay. Thank you. Any additional... There, maybe that's better? Any additional questions by the board?
Not on this.
Okay. Is there any other questions or comments from any of the staff that's here? Okay. Oh, was that something?
That's the door open.
I was going to mention just that...
might as well wait.
Okay. Squirrel has turned into a bit of a maze. Other thing that is an issue that comes up with some of this and meeting people's special needs, I think we're seeing somewhat of an increase in the number of folks that we serve who are working to get a GED. And we've had some struggles with getting things into accessible format for that. And we managed to make some headway, but there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through. And this is one of the things that I think, so that everybody sort of understands, I'm a cane travel instructor, and I do a lot of that, but I think all of us, field staff and orientation center staff, we do an awful lot of a lot of things that you wouldn't imagine would be part of the job.
I'm pretty sure Hadley has GED stuff. 99%,
yeah.
Well, it has a high school diploma.
Yeah.
I was referring to the exams.
Okay.
So Hadley just has the preparatory.
Right.
You said, Connie, they have a high school
diploma.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get your high school diploma, and they'll fly you to New York to walk across the state.
Chicago. Is that for just high school age people, or can any age person?
You've already graduated.
Yeah.
Any age. Okay. Cool. Mike, did you have something?
I guess I was just, I think you've answered it now. If you're working for with GED students or trying to get their high school degrees, I guess I was going to ask, where are you looking? Are you working through local resources, or is there a particular group that you're working through? I know there's groups like Hadley that I didn't realize Hadley did it. I was thinking of another one in my head. That
mostly Southeast Community College.
Okay, that if it was a particular institution that you're continually working with, that if we gotten the materials taken care of once, hopefully it would work for students to come. But you indicated that it was a deal with the test and not necessarily with right. preparatory work. So, go ahead.
Okay. I think we need to move on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. The next agenda item is
staff training opportunities.
Staff training opportunities. Most of what I wanted to discuss about this, I have sorted out since I put this on the agenda, but any thoughts, questions from commissioners? We've talked in bits and pieces about staff training throughout the day today, and mm-hmm. there are a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have any
questions. No questions. Pearl, did you have any?
No, we really kind of addressed it
throughout the day.
It's something we really believe in, lifelong learning, and we keep working on it.
Yep.
Okay. That was the quickest thing on the agenda.
Okay. We'll move on to the next item, which helped me out.
Conducting an agency forum.
Conducting an agency forum.
I think we just did.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
This is a... This is a brainchild of Julie.
Yes, agency forum. There are actually two things that I wanted to discuss. The main idea, the first idea, was to have like a state staff follow-up. Because we never really had closure. It was kind of like squeezed right at the end and then, okay, time to go. So I was just thinking perhaps we need to have a chunk of time where we could just discuss, you know, as a big group or, you know, small groups and then share with a big group with, I don't know, however it makes sense, to get people talking, to share those ideas, to start mending some of the things that are going on.
I think maybe the next topic might feed into that.
If you help me out, what's the next topic?
Organization.
Oh, that organizational thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike is just reminding me that that leads into the next topic. So what are thoughts about a state staff forum follow-up?
I guess it kind of depends on the topic. I think you're referring to some of the suggestions and suggestions and frustrations is the word I was looking for. That were expressed right at the end of the state staff meeting. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like Dr. Van Zandt mentioned just a little while ago, I think a lot of that has come out today. I'm not to say all of it, but more of it. And we need to keep doing things like this. I was really thankful for some of the very openness that occurred at the state staff meeting. Some of it is difficult to hear, but sometimes it's needed to be heard for clarity and to allow us to move forward. And I appreciated that. I also appreciated the same thing being said today. I think we just need to, I don't know if we need to have a whole separate time set aside for it, but opportunities like this, I think are working in that role.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go.
Yeah.
you have something to do?
No.
Other commissioner thoughts? Okay.
I'm sorry. But that's just me saying that. So if somebody from the staff had a differing opinion, if they felt something like that was needed, I guess I would be very welcoming to that comment.
I keep talking, but...
I think the forum thing idea would be fine, but I think there would need to be some ground rules.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that people don't walk out feeling like they've been attacked.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
I'd like to comment. Because there are just a few staff members here, of course, that's why some of them keep speaking up. But I think that Mr. Hansen's invitation, which is now on public record for staff to let them know if there's a need or what the needs are, I heard that to be a more open invitation, not just to the ones here, but for folks who might listen to this to contact the board.
Thank you.
Is what I heard. He says yes, that's what he meant. The other thing I want to say is that whether there's an actual physical agency forum with all staff, that's one idea, but know that we are having conversations, we're having meetings with different kind of groupings of people about how we can address the things that are morale issues, and you know, so the idea of a meeting, a forum is one idea may or may not do, but even if we don't do that particularly, it doesn't mean we're ignoring, you know, we really take seriously people's morale and the work that we all do, so we're on it. And we will continue to try to address things in a way that is productive, and any ideas people have, you know, we'll see what we can do. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just throw something in real quick. Oh, thanks. All right.
Jeff, I like the idea that you, or that Julie suggested about the forum, agency forum, and I kind of like the fact that you picked up on it. I think one of the things we could probably consider doing, and it's probably worth doing, but you're right, there has to be some ground rules. And obviously, you know, board meetings may or may not be a place for it,
right.
But one idea that I had as Pearl was talking, and I'd have to think through the logistics and practicality of it, is maybe, you know, one night a week, maybe sometime in the next couple of months, you know, maybe an agency forum conference call, you know, get some folks involved. You know, what are your concerns? What are your issues? What are your ideas? With the idea that here's the ground rules and let's all, you know, proceed and make it. I would be open to the conference call idea because it's not always logistically possible for meeting room location and transportation wise to get everybody in one setting, but a conference call may be the way to go. So, you have something else?
No, other than this is just all leading into the next thing. So.
Okay, eventually.
Other thoughts with commissioners, staff? I think what I'd like to do is move to our next agenda item because I think, you know, Mike has been saying that they're going to fit together, and I think maybe that's just the better approach, and we'll flip back and forth between them or resolve both of them in one go, or I don't know what we'll do. But let's just go forward. The next agenda item is discuss and act on bringing in an organizational
development specialist.
Development specialist.
Looking up with that title.
And Mike is going to tell us what that is to start out with.
Okay.
All right. Because of the openness and the everything that has been building for a while, the tension that's been around, and that was expressed and shown at the state staff meeting, I did reach out to the EAP, which is contracted out to a company called Best Care. And I spoke to them just a little bit just to get some ideas about ways to address this, to help with situations like this, because speaking for myself, I'm not an expert in these things at all. I would never dream of being able to come up with the solutions for these things. It's not what I do. I need to lean on somebody else who has more experience in things like this. So I reached out to them and started to ask some questions. These are definitely things that the state of Nebraska's EAP provider can assist with. From a board's perspective, when we have spoken about it, there's some lack of exact knowledge of where some of the situations lie. We know that they exist. We don't know all the details. It's very difficult for us to get those. It's very to understand the root cause of some things. And so the EAP provider, Best Care, has some experience in discovering these things, acting as an outside consultant, independent consultant, somebody who was there solely to assist with situations like this. And what they talked about doing was coming in and doing an anonymous survey. But something that it's an outside entity doing it. Some of the comments, the survey that has been done by us in the past, and especially this time, was very informative. There was a lot of great comments that were made. But like I just said, we're not a group that's geared to solve these types of issues. And they write the questions specifically. It's like Gallup doing a survey. They're very good at what they do. They write those things to discover what's wrong and where problems are, or identify types of problems, and then come up with a game plan and resources to resolve those issues, whether that comes in the form of small focus groups for different sections of staff, we'll say, for field staff or for orientation center staff or for management or for whatever the group is, or if it's more things that are more general that might be a topic of discussion for state staff meeting, they're able to help find those areas that of contention and then help address them. And the survey part is something that's not the discovery phase, we'll call it, is something that's not covered by the state EAP benefits. But speaking to them, it's something that's very low cost and might be something that would be very beneficial to us if it were to help solve some of the tensions that exist today. Yeah, Julie?
Yeah, Patrick.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that research, and it's certainly worth, seeing what else might be an option. I want to say something about surveys. We just had the one. I've talked before about the Comprehensive Statewide Needs Assessment, which we have contracted with Mississippi State University to do. Mm-hmm. And part of that is a survey of some staff. There'll be kind of a mix of different types of positions. So I certainly wouldn't want to that will be coming out in a couple of weeks. They were ready to go with it like a month ago, and I said, no, we're in the middle of this other one. For one thing, it might be confusing.
Okay.
That
this survey, the comprehensive needs assessment, is to get people's ideas about what the needs are out there that aren't being met, or even that are, but what are, it's comprehensive assessing of the needs of blind Nebraskans. Mm-hmm. So it really is different than the survey we just did, but I didn't want it to get kind of confused, and I know I get surveys, and then I'll get a follow-up saying, if you haven't done it yet,
okay.
And I don't really remember which ones I've done, because I, if it comes to me when I have right. time, I do it. If we did something along a survey line, we definitely would need to time it to be right. not confused with the comprehensive survey.
Right.
Yeah. So that's just...
Yeah,
and that was just, you know, that was just in the amount of time that I've been able to speak to them, that was just, you know, yeah. one method that they have.
Okay.
Before anything was done, we would need to work with them and try to figure out what the best approach would be first.
Okay.
But that was one idea that we had to bring in an outside entity that doesn't have. You know, they're a neutral party call.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Somebody who that doesn't have an opinion that might be tainted one way or the other,
right.
And can see it from an outside view and help us get to some resolution and move on and
mm-hmm. yeah, that's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Here you go, Julie.
And I have oh yes. More to whatever. But
okay.
Go ahead.
I guess what we're talking about with this organizational development specialist, whatever particular agency, organization we go to, we're looking at the concept of bringing in a resource, somebody who specializes in communications within an organization, and having them work with us to...
improved communication.
It's late in the afternoon.
It's a variety of things. I'm sorry.
Yeah, to help us with our communication. I think communication right. for me is yeah. it seems like the big theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consistency throughout the agency, the communication, the you know, get people working as a team again. And so that's we don't need to decide today who that person is or what they're going to do exactly, but I think we need to, what I would like to see happen is us make a decision whether we want to move forward with that concept.
Jill?
Yes.
Okay. You know, it seems to me that we had some really good comments, pro and cons, on the surveys that we did, but in a lot of places, I'm sitting there thinking, I wasn't at the staff meeting on Thursday morning, so I'm a little bit in the dark about it, not as much as I was. But when I look at some of the comments that were on that survey, I think, I'd like to talk to that person a little more about where this is coming from, or you know what we can do about it, or if they have any ideas. And if we do another survey, it seems like to me, you know, I'm hearing a little bit of frustration about the surveys because, you know, some people don't even think that we pay any attention at all to them. So for me, this kind of a setup and bringing in somebody, that's fine with me. I think that's a great idea because, as Mike says, we're not experts about that. But I think an open forum type thing with, as Jeff said, rules about not knocking anybody down, this kind of thing. But this open forum has cleared up a lot of things for me. And I think that, honestly, that's the direction I really like to go.
That's all I have.
I think, and it would really, you know, we would have to talk with the organizational development specialist. I like that. I want to be one of those when I grow up. I think that we really have to have open and honest discussions with them and let them know the history of surveys within our agency and kind of some of the hard feelings, because maybe that's not the best way to get information.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there aren't other ways of being able to gather the information.
Sure.
We can figure that out. And I wonder if having this person or organization have them facilitate our agency forum.
Right.
That might be a really good use. You know, then they would have specific questions and activities and a schedule, you know, whatever.
Right.
Then and they could work through. So I see that as a useful follow-up. Not a free-for-all. I never intended that.
No, yeah,
so,
I know, yeah.
No.
Right.
Okay.
Pearl answer.
All right, we'll go to Pearl.
Oh, you're right there. Sorry.
Thank you.
A couple of comments. At various times over the years, we've brought in specialists on, say, for our business office, for business enterprise, and for services in general. Usually we've had key people identified to do that role. Fred Schroeder is one that's come in to consult with management and supervisors and give us direction as far as achieving more employment outcomes and having goals and so on. With the business office, we've had occasional, right now my mind is blank, but things where we needed some outside consultation that could help us, you know, change what we're doing so that we do comply with and better effectively meet the what we have to do for the federal people. And so, you know, it's, I think in those cases, it's been a good approach to do that. We also, the speakers, or one of the speakers on at state staff meeting Tuesday afternoon is from an entity called Leadership Resources, and they have a whole package of organizational development, leadership, all kinds of stuff that they would love to sell to us and provide to us. I know that there's some difference in, well, there are a lot of differences in the private world and public entities. And sometimes pulling in the private enterprise folks can be beneficial, but there are also things that don't mix. That, you know, if they come in and have the assessment from a business perspective, it's not necessarily what we need. And so that's why sometimes we've gone to someone like Dr. Schroeder as an example, or EAP is, you know, that's another example. So yes, I think, you know, there may be, definitely it's some ideas worth considering, and I think it's good that we would talk further about what to do and how best to do it and who should do it. Thank you.
The thing that I liked about this approach was that, and what was that, I know that we've had people come in and give presentations on varying topics that were very informative and helpful to the staff. But what attracts me to something like this is that first discovery phase.
Yeah.
That it's not management making a decision of what courses to come in, and then that not necessarily meet the needs of the staff, and that it is an outside entity coming in and doing that analysis and figuring that out, and then it might not be a one single fix for everything, that it might be a couple particular topics or things that are for one group and something for others or whatever, but it's something that they're able to, through that analysis process, find out the makeup of it and then put together a custom plan to help us resolve any issues that we're facing.
Julie?
Let's do it.
Other comments, Daryl, Nancy?
No, I'm good, I think.
No.
Sounds
Jim.
Like good.
Let's do
looking
it.
Into,
yeah. Jim said, let's do it.
Yep. Let's do it.
Sounds good.
There's one thing that I would like to bring up, because I think it's important to address, and I've mentioned this when I've had private conversations with several individuals, but so that we're all on the same page. Our agency has a philosophy or a core value that our services should be client-directed. It's the clients that decide what career they want to go into, what services and what things they need to learn to get to that goal. We very much support that independence in our clients and that self-direction. We never ever approach a client with, we're the expert, you're the client, and we're going to fix you. It's so polar opposite. So I want to be very mindful if we move forward with this, that we maintain that same value system throughout our whole agency. That doesn't just apply to clients. You know, we need to treat our staff with that same level of respect.
I like that.
So I don't want anyone to feel or ever to give the impression that we need to bring in these people so we can fix it. You know, you guys are all broken and we're going to fix you. Because that's not the intent. But, you know, I think we all know that we can't, just like we can't teach English as a second language and we can't teach high school to our clients. We send them out to other resources. We can definitely use, the staff can, you know, learn things through training and through this. I see this as a training opportunity, but instead of us going out to attend it, we're bringing in the people. That's how I want it to be viewed. And I just want us throughout this process to always be mindful of that. Yes, hold on just a second.
There's one other piece of this that I wanted to mention, and you know, we have had some terrific trainings over the past couple of years. Motivational interviewing was terrific, Bridges Out of Poverty was terrific. These are really great things.
Right.
But what I find is, once I'm away from that training, it gradually fades out.
Yep.
You know, I don't have my students sit in a chair and talk to them about cane travel, and then they walk out and they're travelers. And I don't know what we can do about it, but what we really need is a situation where the people who have the expertise are with us for a period of time. Ooh. In action, doing these things. So that when we're making mistakes, we got somebody tapping us on the shoulder saying, hey, you know, maybe you ought to try it this way. Or, you know, you've got this situation coming up, here's an idea of how you can handle it.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
That is good.
No, I'm sure.
Connie, is it
Connie? Okay, go ahead. I wasn't going to cut you off. I know what it's like when you have a thought.
You're like being
He's
losing.
Yielding to his elder.
I think okay.
I'm kidding.
That might be difficult to accomplish. I think when you go to school, you learn things, you go out into the real world and you apply them, and your professor can't follow you around and make sure that you've really gotten it down. So, right. You know, I agree with you, Jeff, that there might be some ways that we can keep refreshing ourselves, but I think it's kind of unrealistic to think that we could have people, like, move into our offices.
Right.
And that's not what you're saying, I don't think.
No,
I
think I can follow up with that a little bit more, too, though. There is a group that there's a group out there in the University of Nebraska. Lincoln joined the Big Ten. It wasn't just an athletic deal. There was something called the CIC that we joined as well, and it's a collaborative effort of all those schools for different educational resources. And one of the things that my people in my office are participating in is something called the ITLP, the Information Technology Leadership Program. And it is a program that the CIC contracts out and puts on. And long story short, they go and they learn some great communication skills and management practices, and how do you relate IT to tenured professors and all those struggles and stuff that are more specific to my career path. But one of the aspects of that training is a mentorship program, or and I can't remember exactly the right term that they use for it, but they go and they have those classes, but they're assigned a mentor, so to speak, and they're able to contact that person outside of the class as they're going back to the office and putting what they learned while they're put into effect, when they're implementing what they've learned. And it's somebody they can bounce an idea off of or something like that. And that's not always necessarily possible, probably, with everything we do because of confidentiality. But I guess I just don't want to discount that there's no way to do it. I think it's definitely a challenge, and it's something to bring up. If we pursue something like this further, it's definitely something we could bring up and discuss what some possibilities might be.
I think what I'm hearing from Jeff is that instead of having a training event that's a day or a couple of days, and then that's it, you know, it's supposed to be, we have all the tools, we have everything we need, so go forth and make it happen.
Yeah.
I think what I'm hearing is that we need follow-up. We need to hear the same things over a period of time so that we can develop those habits.
And the mentoring idea, too.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's a really good,
that is a good
idea. Did Pearl, did you get to say, I forgot who wanted to talk?
I did get that one, but I have another.
You're coming around to me.
Thank you. Motivational interviewing was one that was mentioned as a skill that a lot of our counselors were exposed to. And we did actually, we had intensive training, first at state staff meeting, then in the different work groups, at least some of them, and then we've had we had a few follow-up of where I sat in on one with Lincoln District, and one with the center too, actually, where the motivational interviewing experts kind of talked through situations with our folks. And I think in some cases it was videotaped of how it was handled, or, you know, so there was some follow-up a couple of times. Of course, it's not ongoing, but it is, and Lincoln is continuing. I do know that North Platte District did not have the training yet for their team because of staff changes, but now Sarah already has it set up to begin, and they have people now from the TACE, the regional technical training people, right, continuing ed people, have an expert in MI now, and so he's going to be coming to North Platte or Kearney to train that team, and he'll do a similar thing of follow-up with it. So, you know, some of it we have, whether you can, ongoing, or some of it is maybe a little more like Connie mentioned, where the individual has to kind of do your own refresher, what's going to work best for you. I love the mentoring and that kind of stuff, but whether, you know, to what extent and how long and stuff is questions.
Right.
Thanks.
Okay. Were there more Comments, questions from the board?
I have one comment, which might not mean a lot.
Kathy. Oh, from Kathy all day.
I tell you what, we...
Well, I was just thinking that there are going to be some staff, not in, just in our commission, but in any agency or organization, there are going to be some staff who are going to be negative,
yes.
Regardless of how many tools you give them to try to be positive.
Probably.
Some people are just that way. They're just going to be negative because that's what they've chosen to be. Mm-hmm. And so we can't, you know, we can try, but it's not going to be successful probably on everyone.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
And it's true. Chairman, I think that there's, I think with the amount of feedback that we've gotten recently, that I, you know, there may be some people, there could possibly be some people that fit that role. I don't know. I don't want to label anybody. But with the amount of feedback that we have gotten along these lines, that I can't imagine that that's the case everywhere.
I think that's true. We're not, it's always going to be a work in progress. And you can't please all the people all the time.
Right.
You know, and I mean, you know, it may not even be that, okay, we're bringing in speed. It might be just, I don't want to go to another training thing. You know, I don't want to travel. I mean, there can be a variety of resistance. Just let me do my job.
That way it work,
I think it's clear that we need to take some sort of action. To me, it's clear.
I agree.
So, more discussion?
One last comment.
There's a mic.
Behind you.
Oh, sorry, behind you. I think there, again, lies the whole thing. I've been thinking about this ever since we talked a couple weeks ago and things, and you know, it's not the commission, it's not you people who work in the center and so forth. When we talk about morale, I've seen it in our school. Morale is just at an all-time low, and my guess is that a lot of it has to do with, you know, all the, you know, restrictions, and I know we can't privatize, but you know what I'm saying is, you know, we have to go to one system of evaluation, and you know, we're getting state funds, and I guess we have to do it. But it's very frustrating, I think, for everybody. And you know, we can't change the world, but I think if we could have more leeway in doing things. I mean, I've never, when I went through center training and things, had anything but good things that I thought that the counselors, you know, I've never, you know, seen anybody that really, I don't think, wasn't doing their job.
I don't think we're saying that.
No, I know you're not saying that, but I mean, I think it's, you know, it's hard when, you know, you've got all the, you know, the paperwork and, you know, all these restrictions, and I don't know that, you know, maybe bringing somebody in or doing some things we can, you know, people can be more open on these things and so forth, but I think it's not just people here at the commission, you know, that are sometimes maybe feeling that. And that's what I'm trying to say.
May I?
Mm-hmm. Is Dan?
You're around.
There you go.
I'd make a motion to you at some point if you're ready, Julie.
I just want to maybe have a next steps. It sounds like we should check further with EAP. And my question is if Mike wants to continue to do that or if you want me to talk with him further or what. I think it would help if the board just kind of tells us what you think about.
I'm ready to make a motion.
All right.
Sounds
good.
All right. I would like to make a motion that representatives of the board and we include Dr. Van Zandt and anyone that she would like to include at this point, start to have further discussions with EAP about this process, so that we can get more information and find out what's possible and what we can do. I don't want to make a motion right now saying that we're going to do this.
No.
This is a motion to contact more them and get more information, and so that we can make a make an informed decision.
That makes sense.
So the motion is for representatives from the Board of Commissioners, as well as representatives from the commission itself, from the commission itself, work together to get more information from EAP about what is possible, and so that we can come back and make a decision at the next board meeting on how to move forward, and at that time.
Second.
Is there discussion? Oh,
there's been a motion and a second. Is there discussion? Okay, I'll discuss. I always have comments. I would like to see us move forward faster than that.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. My feeling is that the communication consistency and division among staff has been going on for some time, and we've tried smaller, more subtle measures that haven't really made progress. And so I would like to see us make the my opinion would be to make the decision to procure the services of an organizational development specialist or similar other professional to bring into the agency and help us with this. And then, having made that decision, then it would be a matter of doing the research and picking one, instead of your motion to research and then come back at the next meeting and make a decision. Okay. I would just like us.
I can rephrase.
Okay.
Okay. Let me rephrase my motion then, and that would be to for representatives of the Board of Commissioners and representatives of NCBBI. My motion would be that we go ahead and obtain the services of a organizational development specialist company, and then representatives of the commission board and the commission work together with them to come up with a plan, a training plan, a discovery plan, whatever.
Plan of implementation.
A plan of implementation, thank you.
Okay. By what date?
Some motion?
I guess I did not include a date, so we're saying now that we're going to obtain their services, and that we would immediately start working with them.
Okay.
There you go, Julie.
Okay. And I'll second the motion as rephrased.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Is there discussion? No discussion. Okay. We'll have a roll call vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
I'll vote yes.
Okay.
Go.
But I have a question.
Yes.
If Mr. Hansen would provide to me the contact information or the people he worked with, then we'll begin
Absolutely.
The discussions.
Yes.
Mike will be glad to do that.
Thank you.
So says the chair.
Who on the board would like to work on that? I think two of us.
I would like to.
I think two is enough.
Mike, I think, makes sense, and he's just volunteered. Is there another?
I think Jim's sitting there.
Do you want to, Jim?
I can see. Yeah, I can. I don't mind.
Is that something you wanted to do, Julie?
If you want to, go for it. That doesn't bother me.
Well, I want to make sure that other people have opportunities.
Okay.
I think the chairman of the board makes sense to be the
Nancy's volunteering me.
I think you have some strong.
Well, you volunteered, Mike.
That's fine. That's fine.
Well, I would be happy to do it.
That's fine.
I just want to make sure that other people didn't feel left out or they didn't have the opportunity.
And besides which, for example, Daryl and I are going to be finishing up our term. It makes more sense for people that are going to be around a couple more years to do it.
Mike and I and Pearl, and I think we should do a lottery among the staff to pick. I don't know. That just popped in my head.
Well, we can figure
that out later.
Yeah, but we'll figure that out. But I think we have a start to move forward. Any more discussion about organizational development?
Let's move on. Nope.
Okay. We're almost done.
Yeah. Well, we got a big thing left.
Well,
A couple of big things.
But a couple.
Public comment.
Oh, okay. The next item is the state plan. And I read the whole thing. Very carefully.
I read it more
than once. It's very detailed. We've all received the draft state plan document and had the opportunity to review it. This, after reading the state plan for several years now, is making more sense to me. There were no questions that jumped out at me. I noticed that there were a few places where you still needed to put in figures.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Madam Chair, just so that we're open in the process, I did have the question and I already addressed it with Dr. Van Zandt, but it was regarding the section of order selection, and there was an area. I asked, there is no order of selection defined because our goal is to serve all Nebraskans, and we don't really have a need at this point for a waiting list, so there's no order of selection listed. And I, since we had been talking a little bit, I had had the ideas floating around the back of my head about asking if we, you know, if we wanted, you know, to offer our services to Kansas for a fee or whatever, that maybe that something like that would need to be included. And it doesn't at this point, but if we did ever move down those roads, that perhaps that would be something we would have to address at that time, or if our client volume started to increase or we started to have waiting lists for services, it would be something we have to address. And even though it's not in the state plan today, we do have things, rules about that process already. It's just not actually documented in the state plan at this time.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Questions, comments from commissioners? No questions about the state plan? Pearl, did you want to talk about the state plan?
Yeah, I would be happy to say a few things. For people in the public, it's only 63 pages long. I don't know what the issue is. I'm going to start with page
type. I said that's small type.
Oh, it's normal type, single space.
On two sides.
Yeah.
Anyway, some of it's kind of pro forma. It's things that are required that the federal law says you have to do this, and then our text is the explanation of how we do that. In some regards, there's a lot of continuity from one year to the next, but we do really try to incorporate into the content some of the new things people are doing, the initiatives we've been talking about all day here. And so that's
tied in as much as possible without going into huge detail on some of the different things that we're doing. Let's see. The part of the sections that need to be edited yet relate to our results, like on standards and indicators, which that's just plugging in data when we can get it. But then those are tied to actual goals for the agency, and we will, I think that our goals will be approximately the same as or pretty consistent with what they had been. I don't think there will be huge changes that we'll need to consider, but I just felt like since the draft that I hope you will approve by today's meeting, that the understanding is that at least from what we can see with the numbers that we do have as far as people served and goals accomplished and such, there aren't huge differences, and so I think that the goals that are set will be pretty consistent with what it was this last year as well. We can certainly have another, like a conference call to review a final draft if you want to do that before the deadline, but when the time comes, I have to submit it online through the federal system, so it's not just a matter of finishing a document and mailing it anymore. Yeah. So just so that you all know, that's some process stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I have for now.
Okay.
Discussion, if you have a second for a comment.
If we're going to vote on it, I've always been I hate to say it, an opponent of voting of approving something as an unfinished document. So I would, even though I agree with everything that's there today, and that it's just a matter of pretty much filling in some numbers, I would be for having a conference call later on just to have a roll call vote to approve the document at a later time. Madam Chairman.
So what do commissioners think about having a phone conference meeting sometime in the next few weeks?
I can live with that. Mike's probably, he's probably right on that. We probably should.
Okay. I also think it might be a good thing. There were a lot of agenda items today, and some of them, maybe we need to revisit for follow-up. Mm-hmm. So we could have a short phone meeting sometime.
Okay.
Is that...
It has to be for a specific topic.
Yes. A non-public meeting has to be a specific topic.
We can only have what we can.
Yep. Can it be more than one topic? I'm asking Kathy. She's our expert.
Yeah. Let me get the open meeting there. Mm-hmm. I think it has to.
It could probably be two or three.
One specific topic.
I was thinking.
I thought it was no more than an hour too.
So
we'll check these things.
I missed.
So even if it's open to the public, well, could call in by phone, it's still...
That's what I remember from last year, and I wasn't there.
Yeah.
We can't have
there was something, there's something about it. I don't
think we can have a meeting by...
But there's...
We can't have a normal meeting by phone.
No.
You can have a special meeting.
But we don't have to... Okay. We could have an emergency meeting like what we're discussing for a single topic, right?
Yeah, but
Kathy's looking it up.
Yeah. Julie was proposing we revisit some of these other
things. Yeah, we follow up with some other stuff, but Well, do you want to meet in person? In another couple of weeks?
Well, I'm not sure I'll have, don't say a couple of weeks, sometime before.
How about Tuesday?
A month or 6 weeks or something.
Yeah. That might not be a bad idea. I mean, we're all close to like Lincoln or.
It's due July 1st, isn't it?
July 1st.
Lincoln is a reasonable area.
Truly, that might not be a bad idea to meet in person. I mean, I don't.
Jim's excited.
Well, that don't bother me. I just.
For a public meeting, we have to have how much advance notice? I'm sorry, she's busy looking.
Oh, she's trying to look up the other.
Yeah,
place,
I know.
So,
yeah.
There are a lot of.
We have time.
We have time. I think it's 10. Well,
I think it's 10 business
days. I think it's 10 days, too.
Okay. That sounds about plenty of time. So that would be an option.
Well, we can.
While Kathy's looking that up, is there other discussion about the state plan?
Would it be acceptable, what I propose, let me get
the mic.
Sorry. Thank you. I would propose that I, as time permits, go ahead and begin entering the sections that are complete, that I don't intend to change. When we meet again and you actually, you know, approve or don't approve the whole thing, I can always go back and edit sections.
Yes.
But I could go ahead and begin some of that entering if that's acceptable.
I'm assuming it's a time.
Yeah.
Process to.
Yes, it kind of is. It's disjointed and sometimes the system's down and like that.
I think that's fine.
Kathy
found it.
Sure. That makes sense to me as long as the final official submission is not made before.
Right.
That's just a bookie thing.
I think Kathy found it.
Kathy needs the microphone.
Okay.
Okay, it's the emergency meeting that. If you can't give a notice, an advance notice, because it's an emergency meeting, that is the one in which you can only conduct business in regards to the emergency. Mm-hmm. If you have a telephone call conference meeting, you can do it. You must give a reasonable notice, though.
Okay.
And you must, it must be publicized. And so you'd have to have it, like, we'd have to, like, have a location where people could come to the meeting and sit in on the conference call.
Right.
If you have more than, you know, even if you have one item.
Okay.
And I would imagine that this would not constitute an emergency meeting because we know about it more than
right. The telephone conference call can last no more than 1 hour.
That's what I remember from last year.
But reasonable arrangements must be made to accommodate the public's right to attend, hear, and speak at the meeting, including seating, recording, and reasonable opportunity for input.
Just have another meeting in Lincoln.
Yeah.
But if we do have a meeting in Lincoln that we give advance notice, it can be more than an hour, and it can be, on all subjects that we want to talk about.
What's the last Saturday in June?
I can't do that.
Saturday.
29th.
Yeah, the 29th
would not give adequate time for
her to finish.
Finish the
July 1, so.
But
When's the NFB convention?
Not till July.
22nd.
I'm thinking July.
It's always July
2nd. I think it starts.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So it's the week of the 4th.
Can we do like the 8th?
July 1st to the 6th. Carlos says.
Okay, 1st to the 6th. Mm-hmm.
June 22nd is a Saturday.
June
15th, 22nd. Any of those would be okay. I did 22 myself.
I think I could.
With some of this data that we were trying to get it from RSA, actually, it may be, you know, we just don't have control over when we'll get that. But I would think the 22nd of June will be the safest.
I would go with that.
Could work for me.
Shouldn't have to worry about getting snowed out.
You want it to be a conference call meeting or a regular meeting?
I participate a lot better when we're face to face. I know that sounds strange. I think it just enables.
That's fine with me.
More.
I think interaction. We're talking about a regular meeting, weren't we, Julie? Mm-hmm. We were talking about multiple topics. Well, an emergency meeting was the one that couldn't be multiple topics, but we would have to, you would have to clock yourself to an hour if it was a conference call.
Right.
All right, get me agenda.
And not that we're planning a big agenda, but I think Julie's right that we have enough things that we could.
Yeah. Here's the microphone.
Okay.
So we're looking at June 22nd for an in-person meeting in Lincoln.
9 a.m.
Okay.
Because it's only going to be an hour. We could do it later if you want to.
Well, it's going to be longer than that.
It'll be longer than an hour.
We're going to follow up on these topics.
It will not be a conference.
But it's not going to be
an 8-hour
like a today kind of meeting. So I would propose that we start later, like 10 o'clock in the morning. That way it'll allow ample time for like Nancy and I to come in.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
That works.
You bet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 10 to...
What, 2?
2, 3, yeah.
Get me the items you want on the agenda, and I'll put them there.
And then we'll follow up with this stuff, continue with the state plan, and anything else that we've forgotten.
Okay.
Does that sound?
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Real good. Public comment. Right.
So do we need...
Do we need to make a motion so Pearl can start...
I was just
doing
that
in.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think
because
so.
Because she's not doing the final submission.
Okay.
So it's just a
understanding.
More the understanding that yes, that's my. I'm planning to do
that.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Other discussion about June meeting or state plan or any of that. No. Okay. We'll move on to our final item, which is public comment.
Is Mark?
Okay. I heard Mark. And who? Any others? Just Mark?
Hey, you can take
Mark.
How much time do I have?
Ten minutes.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
Take 8 of those. Two.
Well,
well, first of all, I'd like to thank the commission board for all the time that they have devoted to serve the blind of Nebraska. These people do it selflessly and willingly, and we thank you greatly. Or at least I do. I can't speak for anybody else. And also, I'd just like to make the comment. It was good to see some younger blind or new to the commission people here, you know, like Dave and his wife Tammy and some of the orientation students. You know, it's good to see that they're actively involved. And then lastly, I'd like to thank you for the pizza. It was great. A couple things. I tried to wait to the end so I could only speak once. But when I'm thinking now as just a blind person that's around other blind people. And typically when blind people come to the commission, that for lack of a better word, they're broken. Either they're physically or mentally or emotionally broken and they need help. And you guys are the lifeline. And we're thankful to have the commission here that provides that support that we need, because sometimes the obstacles that the blind encounter are too difficult to encounter on their own. That being said, when a person comes broken, the last thing they want to sense is communication problems or difficulty. It just adds to their stress. Now, I personally care about the people's issues and the staff and everything. And because you're people and you're giving your best, somehow we've got to get that under control so that the energy and effort is directed towards the consumers. So, and I don't say that to criticize anybody, but my experience is, as a blind person, there are things that I deal with that are definitely blind and I need certain things, and then other things are life issues. And the first thing I have to do is determine, is this a blind thing or is this just part of being alive, getting older, whatever. So, you know, when I heard that there's some organizational things, a lot of organizations have problems. So I don't think that's necessarily a blind thing. You know, communication is integral in any organization. In my experience, in communication, or when you have difficulties, it usually comes down to several things. The first thing, and it's kind of just coincident, the most problematic employee is the one that's not being used efficiently. So when I hear that, you know, maybe numbers are down, maybe people are getting restless, and then they not only they don't have enough things to do, or they're looking for things to do, or they're overanalyzing. So, and when our numbers are down, you're going to see more tensions like that. The second thing is usually it's a matter of empowering. The people don't feel empowered to do what they are gifted to do. Most people do not lose their jobs because they are not capable. It's usually they can't get along with other people. You know, then it comes. The next thing that falls on top of that is accountability. You know, you need to hold those people accountable, because there's nothing more frustrated than someone that's doing their work very well, and they're serving, and then there's somebody that maybe not doing their job, and it's getting in the way of them doing things. So it comes down to accountability, just being efficient, and keeping people trained. I think you need to shift some of the burden of, you know, training on the shoulders of the staff. I mean, you give them the information, you say, here, you're equipped, you need to go on. When I was in the employment field, if I needed a special skill, sometimes the employer provided it for me because it was necessary. Other times, just to make me a better employee, I went out and got that training on my own, at my own dime. And you know, if there are issues, you know, training is good, but there is an expectation that our people are, they should be prepared and qualified to do the jobs they are. And you know, obviously the goal is to continually up that standard. I belong to the American Council of Blind, and the National Federation of Blind is here, and you know, we're both consumer groups, and consumerism is about choice. And when the blind people come here, they have a choice. One, they can, and it's a matter of how many choices. Sometimes if you have one choice, that's easy. You say, okay, we've got the orientation center, either they take it or they don't. If you find that you're not getting many people to take that choice, you may have to look at adding another choice. But at the same time, the goal should never be to reduce our standards or reduce our expectations, but we do need to adapt to what the consumer's choice is, with the desired goal of, you know, you are a valid person, and blind people with reasonable training and support and encouragement can do a lot of things. So if we're having problems with the people not going to the orientation center, it may be a case that we need to look at other choices, or it may be a marketing matter. You know, when there's dissension or when there's issue, you know, we don't become the best salesman. You know, and if you're out there dealing with public and you're dealing with issues, you know, I'd like to say you can turn that switch on and off, but you can't. I mean, it's what I found. I was in engineering, and yeah, a lot of the problems were technical, but it still came down to you've got to sell your ideas and work with the people, and that's the co-workers and also the customer. So we, you know, I suggest that. Most people that are blind, if they come here, they may not be able to externalize what their needs are, but a good person could get that information out there with honest dialogue. And you know, I think personally we have 12 people here. It's just empowering them and equipping them to get the people the resources that they need. Maybe not in the way that we're accustomed to, but we need to be looking at what other states are doing. You know, use the indicators. You know, rather than we trying to be the best, we should strive to be the best, whatever that is. We have limitations, but there are lots of resources out there that we don't have to recreate. We need to incorporate them and integrate them. As I said, I appreciate what the board did, but there were two incidences here that I'm just going to convey just for the sake of disclosure. First, I think you should have gave Dr. Ranzan the authority and the power to approve the state plan. You know, we have limited resources, and you guys are going to get together again. Ultimately, it's her responsibility. You can be working with her shoulder to shoulder until that point. That's just my opinion. You've got to empower you know, your job is to make sure that the job is being done right and empower her to do that and her staff. So that, I guess that's one thing. The other thing I just have a concern is you know, passing a motion to approve bringing someone else in to solve our problems. What we need to do is first of all, determine what the problems are and then fix them. Or if you can't do that, you need to say, this is where we want to be as your goal, then you work back to where you are now. We have experts in-house here. You need to empower them and give them the support and the authority to do that. So again, I thank you. We have a saying in the meat industry, you know, making sausage is messy, but it's necessary. So I mean, this was a great process because, so it's, I just thank you, and that's just my opinions, but thank you.
Good job.
Julie, it's 9 minutes till late.
Yes.
4:08 or whatever.
They're going to kick us out in 9 minutes. Oh. So, does anybody else have a comment?
We need to move.
Briefly, yes.
When I lost my sight, it was February 19th, 1999, 10:30 at night. There was a white flash, and instantly I was blind. Period. In the left eye. The right eye I could still see with, but I didn't know that until I went to the doctor, because I couldn't tell which eye was blind and which I could see. But I had to deal with that blindness all by myself. There was no one there. I had no preparation. There was no one for me to call. The commission was there, but I didn't know it. My daughter and I worked for 6 months, all day, every day, gathering information, making phone calls, calling, waiting for return calls, going to visit various organizations. Huh? What?
The microphone is important.
Keep going.
I think we can hear you. Keep going.
And there was nobody ever told us about the Commission for the Blind. I happened to be designing a theater show, and the lady came up to me, and her husband apologized and said she can't see, she couldn't see how beautiful your costumes were. And I said, she can't, neither can I. And he pulled out this card and gave it to me, and it was for Elaine at the Nebraska Commission for the Blind in Omaha. And it was just, I was just astounded that there was so much help available and it was hidden so totally. You say you don't need to do marketing? Oh, yes, you do. Because your customer is the blind person who has just now lost their sight and no longer has any resource to any form of help. Thank you very much.
Does somebody else have a question?
Is there time for one more, Julie, or not?
Give me the microphone.
Yep.
I don't think anyone said we don't need marketing. I've never heard that ever.
I thought I heard that earlier.
No. I did say that our primary responsibility is to work with blind people to get them employed, and that we do not have a budget for marketing and advertising. So we need to do it the best that we can within what we're able to, you know, within that framework. Was there, Wes, did you?
Yeah, I just had a brief comment.
It's going to have to be brief because they're going to kick us out.
Yes. Just, you know, if there's any surveys or anything web-based, if there's any web-based surveys or things you need tested, I'm willing to help in terms of the some of the earlier things. So
that was a given.
Tony,
thank you.
Okay.
One minute.
I promise.
Okay.
I think it was a smart decision for the commission to decide to bring in someone from the outside to help take a look at communications issues. Internally, it's really hard to separate the emotion of everything from taking a hard and strategic look at where the breakdown is. So I think that was a wise move on the part of the commissioners.
To make it official. I move we adjourn.
Okay. Any final comments, Commissioner Spurl?
Thank you.
Then we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Kathy, you want my receipt from last night?
Turn in my receipts to Kathy.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes.